leaders sacrifice. Leaders sometimes may lose their career to do the right thing.
Right.
And everybody that takes on that job has to be willing to do that. You have to, everyone wants to go on and be a four-star general, but you might get kicked out of the Army for doing the right thing. And you have to be ready to do that. And if you're not ready, don't put on the bars.
Welcome to the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics Leadership Journey Podcast.
This podcast aims to share leadership stories from our VMI Corps cadets and high-profile leaders who visit the Center for Leadership and Ethics and VMI Post. We're on this journey with you.
Hey, I'm Emily Coleman.
And I'm Derek Pinkham.
And we're your hosts of the podcast.
Mr. Robert Frick, VMI Class of 78, is a former Army Field Artillery Officer, a former Special Agent in the FBI for 25 years, and is now an educator and instructor with background in federal law enforcement, government intelligence, and compliance in high-risk and complex environments.
Bob was a guest speaker at our VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics Annual Leadership Conference in November 2019. And without further delay, we give you Bob Frick. We are sitting down here with Bob Frick, and first I just want to ask you, what led you to VMI, you know, your background, and tell me about yourself.
My family was not really a military family as in career, but we came from a part of Germany called Prussia, which was where Frederick the Great, of military pride in military and military service is encouraged. And my dad was a proud veteran of World War II in the U.S. Army. I had relatives also in the German Army. But I just was always interested in military. And I was a Civil War buff. And I knew about VMI from the Battle of Newmarket. And I came through here on a high school trip and fell in love with it.
Oh, really?
So, really cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
Excellent.
All right. So, and what do you do now?
I'm a retired FBI agent. I teach high school.
Okay. What do you teach in high school?
I teach government.
Government? Oh, okay. Wow.
Well, the problem is also I know the way it's supposed to be, and I know the way it really is, and that makes it even more challenging.
Yeah. Okay. So what was your career?
Army officer and then an FBI agent. I was a support employee for a while. I didn't get right into new agents training, but I was an FBI agent.
Okay.
That was most of my 30 years. Then I did some contract work.
Okay.
After I retired, and contracting wasn't really in Colorado Springs where I live, there's not a lot there. And contracts kept going up and down and canceled, and depending on the budget. And so I got my teaching certificate and became a teacher. I am also licensed to teach German.
Oh, really?
There are no openings for German, so I'm teaching government.
How has your definition of leadership changed throughout your career?
It hasn't changed much. My definition of leadership, it sounds like I got it from a book, but I came up with this on my own. I was thinking, what is leadership? And to me, it's ethical management of people or assets, with a leader who is willing to take logical risks and accept to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is when I was in the Army, it was more direct.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually had troops that were under me 24/7.
Right.
And the FBI, it's more like corporate America, where I manage different assets, different people at different times.
Right. What about throughout your career, VMI? You know, coming in as a rat, what did you think leadership was, and then how did that evolve?
It was the same. I had this idea. I knew what cadets who I thought were good leaders,
right,
who were bad leaders. So I became a corporal, platoon sergeant, and my first class year, I was 2nd Battalion S1, which is adjutant. So I was in leadership positions cadetship.
Okay. So how did those leadership positions help you develop your leadership skills?
When I went on active duty, I'd already been experienced in being a leader as being the adjutant. So I had some idea how to give orders.
Did VMI give you a little bit of a leg up on others?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. VMI was incredible.
Yeah.
I was with a lot of young officers who didn't have the military school background and were struggling.
So what advice would you give cadets about their leadership development here?
Most important thing, there's two things, organization and anticipation.
Interesting.
Now, organization, this is where do as I say, not as I do. I've never been strong. I've struggled with it. Right. I wish I was better. Anticipation is something I'm better at. And I'll give you an example. When I knew I was coming to this conference, I knew that I should wear a suit. So I also knew that they lose luggage. So I wore a suit. I brought two suits. I wore one. I put one. That's how you have to think. That's not really that.
Being prepared.
That doesn't translate to a military situation, but that's how you have to anticipate. Mm-hmm. You have to be ready all the time when you're military officer.
So did you lose your luggage?
No, I didn't. So it worked out.
Yeah, excellent. You had that contingency though, so it's
always,
plan B.
Always have to be thinking of that. Always have to be thinking
ahead.
Of that.
Yeah. So what do you wish that you knew as a cadet that you know now?
I remember when I was a cadet and I'd see junior officers, mm-hmm. I thought these people are so, they know their job. If I get through VMI, I'm going to be an expert. They seem so confident. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'm going to be the same way. Well, I wasn't. It was difficult. And I almost developed an inferiority complex because I thought I should be better at this. Well, it turned out I was above average as my OERs reflected. I just was too hard on myself. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so don't be too hard on yourself.
No.
Don't beat yourself up.
And to be patient with yourself.
Yeah, patient.
You have to work hard, but be patient.
Right. Okay, great. So what is the best advice that you would give a college graduate entering their first job coming out of a military school?
To, again, same theme, be patient. You need to work really hard to learn your job.
Yeah.
I think the confidence comes with learning your job. You need to go beyond what you're taught. You need to be an expert in whatever field it is. And the training you're going to get may be good enough for the corporation or for the military, but it shouldn't be good enough for you. You should go even further to try and be an expert.
What are some mistakes that you made early on in your career or even at VMI that you learned from?
Bad temper. Losing control. And when I spoke earlier to the cadets, I mentioned this. It's worth mentioning again. I had a sergeant named Sergeant First Class Bobby Hinson, mm-hmm. who was like a father figure. Yeah. And I can't stress how important it is to have a good NCO to teach you the ropes.
Right.
And he took me aside one day, and the officers above me, I was imitating what I was seeing. A lot of officers were, the military was difficult at that time. People were getting rifted out of the military, reduction in force. And I was mimicking what I was seeing. People were losing control and yelling and screaming. And he pulled me aside and he said, you've got to be, he said, Lieutenant, I see those jokers above you and how they're acting. Don't let them influence you. Your job as an officer, you have to be the coolest cat in the block. You've got to have ice water in your veins.
Yeah.
And that, I've taken that with me ever since then.
That's very interesting.
Do you know why at that moment that made an impact on you?
Because I realized that he was right. I had heard that here. This is a lot of this is common sense. As I said upstairs, common sense isn't that common. I was told that here, but I didn't. Once I'm in this environment and people are losing control and yelling and screaming, and I just started doing it myself.
Yeah.
Major's yelling at me, so I'm going to yell at the sergeant, and I just sort of fell into that. And he's the one that sort of slapped me and said, don't forget, you've got to be, I don't care what they're doing, I don't care if they outrank you, you're an officer, you've got to be the coolest cat in the block, and you've got to have ice water in your veins.
So what are some practices as an effective leader that helped you on your leader journey?
Most important thing is integrity. And I think there's, it goes a little bit further than even what we learn here at VMI. I think there's a disease in this country right now of narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
And people only return phone calls if they think there's something in it for them. People are rude. And I've always been on time and I return phone calls. And I treat everybody, subordinates and superiors,
right.
with the same respect.
Right. Yeah, that's very important. Kind of like having humility, being humble.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely.
I think VMI does that to you, especially as a rat. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of the things that they make you think about.
It's hard going through the red line, but when you've gone through it and you've experienced life after VMI, it all makes sense.
Yeah. Do you think about your red line now and those things that you went through?
Usually laughing.
Okay, laughing. Okay, good.
Usually laughing.
Probably back then, you're
trying.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
I've been here with my brother Rats, and we've been laughing, laughing so hard, literally hyperventilating, thinking about some of the crazy things that happened.
Oh, man, I bet. I can't imagine. I can see it. I can watch it. I grew up here, so I always watched it. It was fun watching all the rats coming in, and we're like, oh, man, that's rough.
Yeah.
And now being here, hearing everything, I'm like, wow, that really is rough.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it teaches you something. It's well worth it. Everyone says it is, you know, nobody really regrets going through the rat line. Yeah, or that they'll admit to.
Yeah, right.
I think it helped me that I mentioned my German background.
Right.
The Germans, my dad, my whole German family, very strict, very disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
I love them, but they were strict, and so it wasn't that hard on me here.
Right, I was used to it.
Getting yelled at was, I thought, this is just like I'm back home again.
That's funny. So what military leadership skills translated well for you into the business world?
I think the same. I think being honest, mm-hmm. keeping meetings short, mm-hmm. treating people the way they should be treated,
right.
and a lot of empathy,
mm-hmm.
trying to always see where they are, try and feel what they're feeling. Right. Not sympathy all the time. Sometimes you have to be hard, but just have an understanding of what your subordinates are dealing with.
And
the more confident you are, a person is in his job, the better they lead.
Right. What has been the most difficult decision you've had to make as a leader?
When I was a second lieutenant, we had what's called a report of survey. When damage is done to equipment, that's mm-hmm. a second lieutenant, a junior officer, investigates.
Yeah.
I was in a Lance Missile battalion, and we had this is all obsolete now, they no longer have, but it was nuclear capable missiles. And we had what they called a loader transporter. It was an armored vehicle that that have to mate the missile, that have to put the warhead on the main missile assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And this had a boom with a cable so that the soldiers would have to mate the missile, put the fins on, put it on the launcher. Two of my best soldiers were exhausted, absolutely exhausted. They hadn't slept or eaten, and they made a mistake and they forgot to turn the cable off, and it cabled out, cabled in, and it bent the boom. It did about $15,000 worth of damage. And when I initially did the report of survey, I thought, well, it was they're definitely at fault. And this was very technical. I had papers with technical reports, and I wanted to try and go easy on them.
Mm-hmm.
And the brigade commander said, it's not up to you to go easy on them. You have to, if they're guilty, that's, you can't mitigate. You can't feel sorry for them.
Right.
So I had to write up the paperwork. These guys, one of them was married with kids. This would have taken 2 months' pay. And I had to sign that paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, the colonel was able, I wasn't able to forgive them, but he was, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
But when I signed that paperwork, I thought these guys were going to lose 2 months' pay, and it broke my heart. And my dad at the time, I remember I talked to my dad, and he said, that's your job as an officer, and you have to do it. And if that's what you have to do, that's what you have to do.
That's a tough lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. So I'm interested to know, how does, all these leadership skills you have from the military translate into a government classroom with high schoolers? How's that?
It's an interesting question. There's more leadership involved in being a teacher than anything I've done.
Oh, really?
And it goes back to having ice water in your veins. Because I have to be there at 7:45 and I'm there till 3.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what happens, no matter what's going on in my life, I could have had my best friend die. I could have had my car was totaled. I could have the roof caved in. I have to be 100% on my game. It's not their fault, and it's not their problem.
Yeah.
And I have to teach the class. And every other, even FBI, military, if I'm having a really bad day, I can say, hey, guys, I'm just going to sit over here and try and cope with this, and I'm going to take a couple days easy. I can't do that here. This 100% of the time, when I'm up there, I'm in charge of that classroom, and I cannot be moping or sad, no matter what's going on. Mm-hmm. So that it's really, this is probably least commensurate with my background, this teaching job. It's like something I'm doing just to make ends meet until my last son is out of college. But it's actually more difficult probably than anything I've done, because you have to be. And I recommend it to the cadets. Yeah. Everyone, if you can be a teacher at any time, in any capacity, when you're starting out, you should do it, because that's where you see you have to be. That's where you have to have ice water in your veins. That's where you have to stand there and be consistent.
Did you learn anything new leadership-wise, you know, going to the teaching role?
Well, I've had issues with it. Actually, with my students are seniors. They're 17 and 18, so a lot of the issues I had with soldiers were similar.
Oh, okay.
Adolescent problems.
Yeah.
Guess so. Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. So, lastly, I want to ask, what does leadership mean to you? I know you touched on it a little bit, but you wouldn't mind reading.
There's a huge difference between leadership and management, and I've learned I don't like managers. Managers are leaders that don't take risk. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say I don't like them. I don't like the position.
Right.
And the difference when you're in a place like the FBI is night and day, because managers are only thinking about doing the paperwork, and they're thinking about their career, and they're not taking risk for anybody. They're not sacrificing. The leaders sacrifice. Leaders sometimes may lose their career to do the right thing.
Right.
And everybody that takes on that job has to be willing to do that. You have to, everyone wants to go on and be a four-star general, but you might get kicked out of the Army for doing the right thing. And you have to be ready to do that. And if you're not ready, don't put on the bar.
All right, well, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
The BMI Center for Leadership and Ethics would like to thank the following.
Cadet Caleb Minus, Class of 20, for the intro and backing music. Find more of his musical stylings on his Instagram page, @MinusOfficial. That's @MYNUSOfficial.
Colonel David Gray, United States Army retired, director of the BMI Center for Leadership and Ethics.
And of course, as always, our podcast guests. Find this podcast and other CLE programming information on the BMI Center for Leadership and Ethics website, or try our YouTube channel.
Follow the BMI Center for Leadership and Ethics on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram account. See you next episode of The Journey. Thanks for tuning in.